today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
I cannot do it today without you, Jesus. There's no way. There's no way. I need you today. I need that power today just simply to walk free today and to grow closer to you today. It's not happening if he's not the one doing it. Get yourself accountability. That's necessary as well. But before the accountability, before all that stuff, it starts with a surrender. And you're like, I already gave my life to Jesus. Well, do it every single day.
For people to survive, they need water. It's essential to life. In today's message, Pastor James says that Jesus is essential to living a free life. Without Jesus, you're lost. But with Jesus, there's freedom in his blood. God loves us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross so that we could have an eternal relationship with him. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's the only one that can save you from your sin. You're dirty and broken, but Christ has made you clean. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Get some bread to bread the broken.
I pray that there are blessings in your life. I pray that the Lord blesses you and takes care of whatever needs you have. I do pray that always. I pray that for you guys. Absolutely. You have health needs, praying for that, for sure. But I would be amiss if I'm not praying for you guys specifically that you yourselves would grow in wisdom, in spiritual wisdom, in understanding of who God is. And if you're a leader, maybe you're like a Bible study leader. This is your responsibility for whoever it is that you're mentoring or discipling. It is your responsibility to pray prayers like this for whoever shows up to your Bible study. You got to pray these prayers. Why? Because this is the ultimate goal. This is what you want, for people to grow in their knowledge and understanding of what? Of who he is. Of who he is. So that's Paul. That's like number one. He's like, first, this is how I'm praying for you. I'm asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that, here's the reason, so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. He goes on to say, verse 18, I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light, or that your hearts would be enlightened. Okay, I like the New Living Translation sometimes because it's very poetic. I understand the enlightenment. Maybe you do too. If you came out of the 60s and the 70s, it maybe meant something different, right? Enlightening kind of a deal. We're not talking about that. We're talking about your heart, which is technically your personality. Okay, because he's not talking about the organ that keeps you alive. He's talking about basically the core of who you are, your personality. That you would be flooded, your hearts. You at your core would be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. So you remember back in the verses 3 through 14, he has called you. Before anything ever was, he picked you. He's chosen you. He's predestined you. And he has called you into this relationship with him. And so if you've answered that call, Paul's prayer for you is this, that you would understand what that means. So that you're not walking blindly through this life. No Christian should be walking blindly through this life at all. You have every reason to gain understanding and insight within this world. So that's his prayer. It's totally fine. I love it. We just want to gain this understanding. Understanding. Is that what you want? That's what you want, right? In your relationship with Jesus? I hope that's one of your goals. It's like my prayer, a little insight into my personal prayer life. Not too much, but a little bit. Common prayer for me is like, man, Lord, I just want to know you. I just want to know you a little bit more each and every day. I just want to grow in my understanding of who you are. Because what I know about Jesus is just scratching the surface kind of a deal, right? So I want to grow in that. And I want, as Paul is praying this for other people, what I would encourage you guys to do as well is this. Don't make this so much about how you can pray this for other people. Yes, do that. But don't miss out on the fact that this prayer has been recorded because I believe it also applies to you. So I would say receive that prayer as well. So as Paul is praying this for the church of Ephesus, the reason why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this stuff down, I think, was so that 2,000 some odd years later, you're sitting in a church in Galveston, Texas, and you would know that, man, this prayer, yes, it was first for them, but this applies directly to me as well. So pray this for other people, but also receive this prayer because the Lord had it recorded for you so that you would receive it. So your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those who he has called. Now, that's not a mistake. It is a wonderful future for those whom he has called. And you're like, well, my present doesn't feel all that wonderful. And my past has been anything but wonderful. And so I'm kind of a little bit hesitant concerning the future because if it's anything like the past and the present, it's just, no, no, no. As a believer, you need to understand that he loves you and he cares about you. And there is a wonderful future for you. He knows the plans he has for us. You can read that from Jeremiah 29:11. He talks about that concerning first and foremost the nation of Israel. But we believe that can apply to you as an individual today as well. He knows how to work out all things for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose, right? That's from Romans chapter 8. The problem sometimes with this is the trust issue that I have within my heart. I sometimes find it difficult to trust Jesus. Is that revealing too much? You're like, oh no, this guy's all messed up. Yeah, I am. Guess what I am? There are times in my life where I trust Jesus 150%. And even in days where that trust is waning, I still trust him completely. But you get it. There are moments where I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? How in the world are you going to fix this? How in the world is anything good going to come out of this? And sometimes it does pretty quickly. Then sometimes it's years down the road and you look back and you're like, man, I can't believe he did this. I was so hopeless and without hope concerning that situation. Now I look back and I'm like, Lord, how did you do that? He knows how to show up and he knows how to work things out. It's in his timing according to his plan and all that good stuff. Just for me, I just have to learn to lay it all down and just trust him and just trust him. He's got a good plan for you. I don't know what his plan is for you. So if you showed up today hoping I would answer that for you, I'm sorry. You're going to walk away a little frustrated. But I can encourage you that he has a good plan for you. He does. We talk about this all the time. Does it mean that there will no longer be any storms on the horizon and your life will be just sweet and all this good? No, no, no. Because sometimes the best plan for you is a storm. Sometimes it is to make you a little bit stronger, to have you trust him a little bit more. So Paul prays their hearts to be flooded with light, that they can understand the wonderful future he's promised to those who he's called. And this goes without saying, but if God has promised it, it will happen. Period. If he promised it, it will happen. You can bank on that. All right, pressing on through this. He says, I want you to realize what rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. The other way to translate that verse, which I think I appreciate a little bit more, yes, you can apply this as like, you're somehow a great inheritance to God. I don't always understand that. But I think within the context, you as a believer are given an inheritance. He has an inheritance awaiting for you. And I believe Paul is touching on that within the context of chapter 1. Okay? So if you think like, well, I'm the inheritance for God. I'm this great special gift for God. Yeah, but don't let it go to your head. Okay? Like, just keep it in check, right? Yes, you are a treasure. You absolutely are a treasure for him. But never lose sight of the fact that you're part of his family, and you have an inheritance awaiting you. You have an inheritance awaiting you. Verse 19, he goes on to say, I pray. Here's another prayer. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power. For who? For us, believers who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Holy cow. Did you know that? Did you know that? The same power, didn't Jeremy Camp sing a song about this? Same power that raised him from the dead. I don't even know the song. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know the song. I know Jeremy. We went to the same Bible college together, but I don't know his songs. My bad, Jeremy. You can come sing some songs with us. But the same power that raised him from the grave lives in you. Lives in you. Resides in you. We could camp out all month there. Because I think this is a truth that too many of us are missing in our walks with Jesus. And this is not like hyperbole, or this is not like some sort of like poetic kind of language and all this stuff. He's saying, no, like literally, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead has been made available to you. Yeah. You're like, well, but where's it at? I don't know. Ask him. Ask him. Maybe you don't have it because you're not asking for it. Maybe you have not because you ask not. I don't know, but that's a lot of power. Because it's not just that Christ was raised from the grave. It says the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, but also seated him in the heavenlies at the right hand of the Father. That power resides in you, lives in you, only because Jesus lives in you. That's all. It's not because you're some super special person, right? Unless you're a mom, then you're a super special person, okay? I'm catching myself like, you gotta lighten it up a little bit. That only applies to you moms. For you dads, I'm sorry. It's because of him. It's because of him. And here's Paul's prayer, is that you would begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power, that you in Galveston, Texas, on this Mother's Day, would begin to comprehend, to understand. This is what I love about the Bible, is because you're not supposed to check your brain at the door when you go to church. You need to hold on to this thing that God has given you, and you need to exercise it and use it as best as you can. To whatever percentage we use it, I don't even know. I don't think anybody really knows, but we have been given these great things to learn and to grow in understanding and comprehension. And my prayer for you is that as well, is that you and I would begin to comprehend or begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe in him. Pray that for other people. Pray that for other believers. Because this prayer is specifically for believers. What that highlights is the fact that there are a lot of believers walking around who do not understand the power that has been made available to them. There's a reason why a lot of believers will walk around on this planet still in bondage to this or that. It's because they don't realize the power that's been made available to them, the resurrection power that has been made available to them. And it's a sad state to meet a believer, they just can't break free. And I've done enough counseling to know this, and I've also lived this life long enough to know this as well. Oftentimes, those who are just at the end of it, they're at the end of their rope, so to speak, and they're just beyond frustrated, and they can't gain victory over this or that. The commonality behind all of that is this: they are trying their hardest to break free. And then you come alongside and you say, I don't care how hard you try. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. But there's one who lives inside of you. And the same power that raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father lives in you. That resurrection, new life power is available for you. Well, what is that? You have to surrender. And even as a believer, we have to surrender daily. Surrender my self-determination and my self-will and all that stuff, all this nonsensical stuff, right? My stubbornness and hard-headedness. Surrender that to Jesus and say, look, I can't do it today without you. I cannot do it today without you, Jesus. There's no way. There's no way. I need you today. I need that power today just simply to walk free today and to grow closer to you today. It's not happening if he's not the one doing it. Get yourself accountability. That's necessary as well. But before the accountability, before all that stuff, it starts with a surrender. And you're like, I already gave my life to Jesus. Well, do it every single day. Every single day, surrender your life to Jesus. Am I losing my salvation? No, you're not. But every single day you realize, man, I can't do this, Lord, without you. I cannot do this without you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill me today. That you would fill me today. Give me the strength I need to walk free today. These are prayers we got to be praying for each other. These are prayers that you need to receive for yourself, but you also need to be praying these things for other people, that other believers that you know, because you probably know, you probably have prodigals. There's prodigals represented in this room, right? Ones who've walked away from the Lord. Well, what do they need to know? The resurrection power of Jesus that lives inside of them. That's what they need to know. But more than anything else, they need to know that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's what breaks the chains. That's what sets the people free. That's the prayer we need to be praying. 21, he says, now he, Jesus, is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. There you go. That should take the stress off of you as well. I don't care who is in charge. Jesus is in charge. I don't care who's in charge or who thinks they're in charge. For Christians, this matter should be settled within our heads and our hearts. Jesus is in charge. We forgot that last year. We forgot that in January. Let's be real. Let's be honest. And I get it. It's discouraging and all that stuff. I get it. Here's the deal. Above anything and everything, Jesus is in charge. Jesus is in charge. And Paul was writing this, and he's speaking about, like, you want to talk about bad leaders. Paul was surrounded by them. This is nothing new, right? This is nothing new. Paul's saying, look, I know there's powers and there's principalities and there's all this stuff, but you need to understand this. He who lives in you is seated at the right hand of the Father, meaning he has all authority over all rulers, whether they be spiritual or whether they be physical, fleshly rulers. Jesus is over them all. He's over them all. I hope that would like cause us to take a deep breath and be like, you know what? I don't have to like the things that's going on in this world. I'm not okay with some things happening in this world. I don't agree with a lot of things happening in this world. But there's one thing that I do know. He's in charge. He's in charge. Now, what is my role as one of his followers? Well, it's to fulfill the Great Commission. To go, to share the gospel, to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them the word of God. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what we ought to be doing. Why? Look, all that other stuff is, man, there's people that are called to that realm. I'm going to say the political realm. There's believers who are called within that realm and all that good stuff. Praise God for that. It's not me. Because I don't have time for that. I don't have patience for that stuff. But there are other people who have been called into that, and may they make converts. May they share the gospel and win people over to not this side or that side, but to Jesus. To Jesus. But here, Paul is reminding them, he's reminding us, it's very apropos for the day. He is in charge. Jesus is in charge. He's far above any ruler, authority, or power, or leader, or anything else in this world, or in the world to come. Verse 22, and God has put all things under the authority of Christ. He gave him this authority for the benefit of the church. He's the ruler. He's the head. He's the boss. He's in charge. And when Jesus is the guy, the church benefits from it. If Pastor James is ever the guy, the church will suffer for it. If any knucklehead that stands behind a pulpit becomes the guy, the church will suffer for it. You take Jesus out of the equation, that's a bad idea. That's a mistake. And we do that. We're really good at that because we fall in love with personalities and all that good stuff and whatever. It's Jesus. If the church is blessed, it's because of him. It's because of him. He's the head of it. He even goes on to say in verse 23, the church is his body. It is filled by Christ, who fills everything, everywhere with his presence. Yes, he is a sovereign God, meaning control. Nothing happens beyond his control. He's a powerful God, and he's the head of the church. It's filled by Christ. Here's what you look for in a church. Hopefully you found it here. Man, I hope you did. If not, well, it's been nice having you. pray for you on your journey. What my prayer is for you guys, anybody visiting Calvary Galveston, is this, is that you would meet Jesus here. Just him. I pray, usually when it's walking up to the stage, sometimes it's out loud, I pray that Jesus would show up. I just pray he would be here. If I have an audience of one, and it's him, I'm happy. I'm good. I'm okay. Because the body, the church, should be filled by Jesus. He's the head, meaning he rules the thing. The church is his. The church belongs to Jesus. This is not James Grizzle's church, and it never will be. The Calvary Galveston belongs to Jesus. Coastal Community Church, our friends down the road. You know, that doesn't belong to Aaron Sanders. It belongs to Jesus. And I praise God for that. And especially for a guy like that who understands that and he realizes that. That's a great thing when pastors realize, this isn't my deal. I'm called here. I've been called to do this thing. And I will do it faithfully until the end. But this isn't mine. It's not mine. You're not my sheep. You are not my sheep. You have a shepherd. His name is Jesus. It's my job to feed you and to try to, as an under-shepherd, to take care of you. You have a good shepherd. You don't need me. You have Jesus in that sense, right? Now, you show up and we'll try to dish out some good food and all that good stuff, but this thing's about him. This thing's all about Jesus. And I love how Paul just wraps that prayer up with that, essentially just saying, look, this is how I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying deep theological prayers for you guys that you would grow in your knowledge and your understanding and your heart would be enlightened. Again, that you would grow closer to the Lord, that you would realize all the stuff that he's granted to you. I pray that your understanding of the great or the incredible greatness of his power, like you would gain in your understanding of that power that he has for you and that lives inside of you. Paul's just praying these great theological truths. And I pray you would embrace each and every one of those today, but I also challenge you to start praying prayers like this for other people. And if you're like, well, I don't know how to pray prayers like that, well, open up Ephesians chapter 1, start at verse 15, and just change the pronouns. Lord, I pray for so-and-so, that so-and-so would grow in their understanding of who you are. It's as simple as that. You can use these as like training wheels, but you keep pressing on. You keep going, getting into the word and keep pressing on and grow in your understanding of who he is. But make sure that you're bringing people along with you on the journey and you're praying those prayers for them as well. Your prayer life, man, if it's been like weak and anemic lately, this is how you juice it up. This is how you like, you get a little bit stronger in your prayer life, right? This is like the steroid shot you need, your prayer life needs, okay? It needs theology. It needs good, solid doctrine, good theology. So introduce it into your prayer life. Embrace it. If you need like help with like resources of like, you want to grow a little bit more. I have books you can read if you want to, but I just simply say, open up the Bible, read the Bible, and just use these prayers as your own prayers. You can't go wrong with that. Well, maybe you can, but I don't know. Maybe that's another study later on. But that's Paul's prayer for these guys. He ends this chapter one basically with that, just like, man, I'm encouraged by you, your walk with Jesus, your love for the saints, but I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying that your relationship with Jesus just grows and gets stronger. Gets stronger.
Thanks for joining us today on Bread for the Broken with Pastor James as we discover insights from the book of Ephesians together. To listen to this message again, visit our website at breadforthebroken.com. Once you're there, simply click on the Teachings tab and you'll find a variety of verse-by-verse Bible-based teachings. Maybe you're wrestling with the call that God has on your life and you're just not sure what to do. Or maybe you've been running from God and you're ready to come home. We would love to walk alongside you and encourage you in your faith, just as Paul did in the book of Ephesians. As believers in Jesus, we're called to pray together, encourage, and help one another through life. This is what we believe at Bread for the Broken and Calvary Galveston, the church behind this ministry. If you're looking for a new home church or simply want to find someone to connect and pray with, we'd love to be there for you. If you're ever in the Galveston area, we'd be so happy to have you come visit. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. for a time of worship and Bible study. Our atmosphere at Calvary Galveston is relaxed, so feel free to come just as you are. For more information, visit breadforthebroken.com. We're excited to connect with you, so drop us a note and let us know how you heard about Bread for the Broken and how we can be praying for you. Find a contact form at breadforthebroken.com. Well, that's all that we have for today here on Bread for the Broken.